Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Although the hot cross buns and chocolate eggs are probably long gone from your houses, you can see from the displays in the church that we are still in the season of Easter. As such, in this sermon, I'd like to look at what the Bible tells us about living after Easter. How do we Christians live after the joys and sadness of Holy Week are behind us? How do we live as people of the resurrection? To answer this, I'll be taking as a focus 1 John chapter 3, our epistle for today. John says, "This is how we know that we belong to the truth and how we set our hearts at rest in God's presence. If our hearts condemn us, we know that God is greater than our hearts and he knows everything. Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from him anything we ask, because we keep his commands and do what pleases him. And this is his command, to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he commanded us. The one who keeps God's commands lives in him and he in them. And this is how we know that he lives in us. We know it by the Spirit he gave us." Let's pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Jesus' resurrection, which we celebrated less than a month ago, is not just a historical event. Nor is the resurrection promised to us, the resurrection from the dead at the end of the world, just a future event. Rather, the Bible tells us that people who are Christians, who are baptized into God's family, are already living spiritually in the resurrection. As Paul explained in Romans chapter 6, through baptism we have been joined to Jesus in both his death and his resurrection. Paul says, "Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life." This spiritual reality means that Jesus' resurrection makes an immediate and ongoing difference to our lives, even as we wait for the bodily resurrection in the future. Unlike the hot cross buns and chocolate eggs that we have finished and probably already forgotten, we should not leave the significance of the resurrection behind us so easily, because the resurrection should change the way Christians live. The effect of the resurrection in the present is summarized by John as follows. We are to believe in the name of God's Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he commanded us, the command we heard on Maundy Thursday. John goes on to explain the significance of this dual command. Belief in Jesus' name is not simply to believe Jesus exists, or even to believe that what he says is true, but real faith means to love Jesus and to love his people. And Christian love, in turn, is not simply a romantic feeling or a vague sense of goodwill towards others. Rather, Christian love is concrete. Christian love is an action. And this love is motivated and empowered by God's own love for us. As John neatly summarizes in the next chapter of his epistle, we love because he first loved us. And this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. God proved his love for us by sending his only Son to earth to live and die among his creatures. Jesus laid down his life so that we too might live. And so we enact love by laying down our lives for others. Not necessarily by physically dying for them as Jesus did for us, but certainly by living for them. By not making resurrection living about ourselves, about our needs and our wants, but by putting the needs of others before our own. And John gives us one example of this, the provision for others' physical needs. If we say we love others, but we don't show it in practical and concrete ways, then we are not truly loving. Another example of resurrection living and loving happened in Sydney last week. You probably saw it in the news. Bishop Mari Emanuel of the Assyrian Orthodox Church was allegedly stabbed during Mass. Thank God the bishop is recovering, and on Thursday he released a statement forgiving those responsible and promising to pray for them. The bishop also exhorted his members to not return evil for evil, unlike some of the rioters after the attack. In publicly forgiving the alleged attacker and any accomplices, Bishop Emanuel gave the whole of Australia an example of loving like Jesus. Jesus, who died not just for his friends, but for his enemies. One further important point John makes about Christian love is that it is always linked with truth. We love not only by doing the right thing, but by doing loving action from a loving heart. Sadly, that's not something we always have, is it? We might share our material possessions with those who need them, but we often do so grudgingly, out of a sense of obligation towards God, rather than out of a truly generous heart. Or we might say that we forgive someone who has hurt us, but inside we remain angry and resentful towards them. Or we might fail to speak the truth because we're afraid of hurting people's feelings. We act nice rather than loving, but at the expense of what people really need to hear. This can happen, for example, when we're afraid to talk about sin, leaving people to miss out on the forgiveness that Jesus offers them. And so, resurrection living is not always easy. Loving the way Jesus asks us to do, seeking to love one another as he first loved us, can be costly. As Bishop Emanuel also reminded his hearers, the Christian life involves bearing a cross. Coming back to our reading then, John also knew that resurrection living isn't easy. That's why he not only encouraged Christians to love, but he addressed what to do when they fail to love as God wants them to. With the words in verse 20, "If our hearts condemn us," John describes how our hearts, our consciences, condemn us when we fail to live as resurrection people. And they rightly condemn when we avoid bearing our cross, for example, or when we close our hearts to others, failing to show compassion. Our consciences condemn us when we don't share our possessions with others, or when we fail to forgive those who have hurt us and instead want to repay evil for evil. And at times like that, the devil then gets stuck into us, doesn't he? He says to us, "You call yourself a Christian, you're a fraud, you don't show love, you don't have true faith. You're a failure, and so God doesn't love you anymore." Now, if we're honest, the first two accusations are often true. Often we don't show love to others, often we fail to trust God. But with that last accusation, the devil overreaches. No matter our failings, God never fails to love us. That's why John finishes the thought, "If our hearts condemn us," with, "We know that God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything." In other words, God already knows that we are sinners. It's no secret that we fail to love and trust him as we should. But God also knows that his love for us is not contingent on our performance. We are not saved because of our ability to love or our level of faith. We are saved only through what Jesus has done for us. In baptism, we were not only joined in Jesus' death and resurrection, but we were also made God's children. While we are on this earth, we are still imperfect children, but we are God's children nonetheless. That will never change unless we reject God and his gift. And so, while we wait to be perfected at Jesus' return, at the bodily resurrection, God does not reject us for our sin. Instead, when we mess up, he invites us to repent and to trust again in Jesus' perfect love for us. He soothes our troubled conscience with the truth of his promises. As John wrote in the preceding chapter, "See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God." And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And so John assures us that despite our imperfect resurrection living, we can still live with confidence. We can live confident in God's love for us, not because of our own deeds or abilities, but because of what Jesus did for us that first Holy Week, on that first Easter. We can be confident that our resurrection begun in baptism will be completed in eternity. Of course, God's unconditional love doesn't give us an excuse to avoid loving others. Just because we cannot yet love perfectly doesn't mean we shouldn't try. And so to help us in that attempt, God gives us one more gift, the gift of his Holy Spirit. The Spirit whom we received at our baptism is one further assurance of God's love for us. He is like a seal of ownership, as Paul explains in Ephesians 1, showing that we belong to God. He is like a deposit guaranteeing our future inheritance. Elsewhere, John describes the Holy Spirit as our advocate, defending us against the devil when he seeks to condemn us in our consciences. The Holy Spirit helps us to confess our failings and then helps us to trust that God still loves us despite those failings. The Holy Spirit helps us to cry, "Abba, Father," to call out in prayer to God as his beloved children, asking for forgiveness and help to do better in the future. The Holy Spirit helps us to abide in Jesus, growing the fruit of faith and love like a branch on the vine grows good grapes, as we'll hear about in next week's gospel. Dear children of God, Jesus' resurrection makes all the difference in your lives. Since you have died and risen again with Jesus in baptism and received God's Holy Spirit, you can start to live as he intends you to. You can live loving others selflessly, even your so-called enemies. You can live caring for them not just in word, but in deed, until Jesus returns and you are fully perfected at the resurrection of the dead. So go and live as God's resurrection people, in the name of Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds safe in Christ Jesus. Amen.